This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to rebuild a relationship after calling out someone's toxic traits. A clear process for repairing trust after a hard, necessary conversation. In short, after reading this, you will know how to rebuild a working relationship following a toxic traits confrontation. Without backing down from what was true. Separate the confrontation from the repair. They are two different conversations. Use a structured process to rebuild trust step by step. Follow up consistently, because one conversation is never enough. Definition: toxic traits confrontation is the act of directly naming destructive behavioral patterns in someone you work or live alongside. It creates immediate tension and, handled poorly, lasting damage. Handled with structure and care, it opens the door to a stronger, more honest relationship. You finally said it. After months of watching a colleague undermine others in meetings, take credit for shared work, or shut down anyone who challenged them, you named it out loud. You called out their toxic traits directly. And now the silence between you is louder than anything you said. That silence is where most people get stuck. They assume the confrontation was the hard part. It was not. What comes after is harder, because now you have to rebuild something that feels like it has been broken in half. And you have to do it without pretending the conversation never happened. People struggle with toxic traits confrontation recovery because they conflate two separate tasks, the calling out and the rebuilding. They treat them as one continuous act, which means they either keep pressing the point when they should be listening, or they abandon the ground they gained in order to restore comfort quickly. Neither works. And Say It Right Every Time, I describe this as one of the most common errors in conflict repair, mistaking a ceasefire for a resolution. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for rebuilding trust and connection after a toxic traits confrontation that you can use starting tomorrow. If you are still unsure what qualifies as toxic behavior versus ordinary friction, how to address passive-aggressive behavior that's silently eroding team synergy is a useful place to ground yourself first. Why rebuilding after a toxic traits confrontation is harder than it looks. Knowing that repair is necessary and actually knowing how to do it are two entirely different things. Most people understand, in the abstract, that relationships can survive hard conversations. Very few know what to do on the Tuesday morning after the confrontation, when the other person will not meet your eyes and the air between you has gone cold. Here is what makes this specific kind of repair so difficult. The confronted person often feels humiliated, not helped. When you name someone's toxic traits, they rarely receive it as a gift. They receive it as an attack on who they are, which triggers defensiveness, denial, or withdrawal. You are now managing both their original problem and their emotional response to being seen. You are navigating guilt and resolve at the same time. You know what you said was necessary, but you also feel the weight of having caused pain. That internal conflict can push you toward over-apologizing, which undermines everything the confrontation was meant to accomplish. There is no clear script for the morning after. People have frameworks for the confrontation itself, but almost nothing for what comes next. The silence, the awkward exchanges, the not knowing what to say, all of it is uncharted territory for most people. The relationship dynamic has shifted, and both people feel it. Power, trust, and comfort have all been disrupted. You're both trying to find your footing on ground that moved. Repair is slow, and impatience can destroy it. People expect a single follow-up conversation to fix things. When it does not, they either push harder or give up. Both responses make things worse. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin the repair process, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, your intention must be repair, not vindication. Before you say another word to this person, be honest with yourself about what you want. If you are still primarily focused on being right, on getting them to admit what they did, you're not ready to rebuild. Repair requires you to shift your focus from the past to the future of the relationship. This does not mean you abandon what was true. It means you stop using truth as a weapon. Number two, you must accept that repair takes more than one conversation. A verbal agreement is not enough. As I make clear in Chapter 9 of Say It Right Every Time, trust that was damaged over months of toxic behavior will not return in an afternoon. Setting yourself up for a single redemptive exchange will leave you frustrated and the relationship more fractured than before. Prepare for a sustained process, not a single event. Number 3. You need to separate the person from the problem. This is one of the core principles I return to throughout chapter 9 of Say It Right every time the behavior was harmful, but the person is not the behavior. If you go into the repair process treating the other person as irredeemably toxic rather than as someone who behaved in toxic ways, you will signal contempt instead of possibility. That distinction matters more than anything else you do. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Give it space before you reach back. This step is about timing, and it is the one most people skip entirely. After a toxic trait confrontation, both people need time to settle. The confronted person needs to process what was said without feeling pursued. You need to move out of the emotional heat of the confrontation before you attempt to repair. Reaching back too quickly, with more explanation, more justification, or a premature apology, almost always makes things worse. Here is how to apply this step with discipline. Number 1. Wait at least 24 to 48 hours after a confrontation before initiating any substantive follow-up conversation. Number 2. During that window, avoid all indirect communication about the issue. No pointed emails, no loaded silences in meetings, no comments to third parties. Number 3. If you must interact professionally during this period, keep it clean and neutral. Do not pretend the confrontation did not happen, but do not reference it either. Number 4. Use this time to prepare your repair approach, not to rehearse your original argument. Number 5. When you are ready to reach back, use a direct, low-pressure invitation rather than a request loaded with implication. Here is a script that works. I have been thinking about our conversation. I would like to find a time to talk, not to relitigate what was said, but to make sure we can work well together. Can we find 20 minutes this week? That framing signals that you're focused on the relationship, not on pressing your point further. It gives the other person a sense of agency, which matters enormously when they feel exposed. After this step, you have created a small but essential opening. The next step is what you do when you walk through it. Step 2. Lead with the relationship, not the behavior. When you sit down for the repair conversation, resist every urge to begin by revisiting the toxic traits you called out. Begin with the relationship itself. This is counterintuitive. It feels like avoiding the issue. It is not. It is a deliberate choice to make clear that the person in front of you matters to you more than winning the argument. That is the only foundation on which genuine repair can be built. Open by stating clearly that you value the working relationship, and that is why you are there. Name the specific qualities or contributions of the other person that you genuinely respect. Do not manufacture compliments. Find what is real. Acknowledge that the confrontation was difficult and that you understand it landed hard. Do not restate your original critique. If they bring it up, acknowledge it briefly and redirect toward what comes next. Ask an open question. What would help you feel like we are in a better place? This approach aligns directly with the bridge method I outline in Chapter 9 of Say It Right Every Time. Begin with an apology. Reaffirm the relationship. Those first two steps exist precisely because repair cannot begin in a climate of defensiveness. You are not abandoning your position. You are creating the conditions where both of you can actually move forward. If your team is navigating related dynamics, how to mediate between two team members to preserve group synergy offers a complementary approach. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Acknowledge your part without erasing theirs. This is the step where most people either go too far or not far enough. Too far. I should never have said what I said. I was out of line. I'm sorry for all of it. This is a retreat, not a repair. It erases what was true and teaches the other person that they can wait out any confrontation. Not far enough. A stiff acknowledgement with no genuine accountability. The other person feels it immediately, and it closes the door. What you are looking for is the narrow middle ground, owning what was genuinely yours, clearly and without hedging, while not surrendering the substance of what you named. Number 1. Identify one specific thing about how the confrontation was handled that you regret, such as timing, tone, or setting. Number 2. Own it clearly using the structure from script 117 in chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time. Name the action, acknowledge its impact, and commit to change. Number 3. Do not use qualifiers. I'm sorry if you felt it's not an apology. It is a transfer of responsibility. Number 4. After owning your part. Pause. Let it land. Do not rush to fill the silence. Here is an example. You might say, I want to acknowledge that I raised this in a way that put you on the spot. That was not fair, and I'm sorry for how it landed. I still believe what I said needed to be said, and I want to talk about how we move forward in a way that works for both of us. That sentence owns the how without abandoning the what. It is honest, it is direct, and it opens space for the other person to do the same. Once you have taken responsibility for your part, you have created the conditions for them to respond in kind. Step 4. Identify the breakdown together. Now you're ready to look clearly at what actually went wrong between you, not just at the confrontation, but at the pattern of behaviour that made it necessary. This step requires you to stay genuinely curious rather than prosecutorial. In Chapter 9 of Say It Right Every Time, I describe this as the journalist mindset. Your job is to understand, not to convict. Most conflicts are two people with unmet needs. When you can see past the defensive behaviour to what was underneath it, you can often find the real issue that neither of you named clearly. Ask the other person what they believe was driving the behaviour you named. Listen without interrupting. Share your own observation using a neutral problem statement rather than an accusation. Not you always dominate the room, but when decisions get made without input from the team, I notice morale drops. Use the SBI structure referenced in Chapter 9. Situation, behaviour, impact. It keeps the conversation anchored to specific events rather than character judgments. Identify together what unspoken expectations may have been operating on both sides. As I write in Say It Right Every Time, unspoken expectations are premeditated resentments. This is often the most difficult part of the conversation, because it requires both people to be honest about things they would rather not look at directly. If the conversation becomes tense, use the de-escalation approach from How to Start a Difficult Conversation That's Blocking Your Team Synergy to bring it back to neutral ground. Step 5. Agree on new expectations together. This is where the repair becomes concrete. Talking about what went wrong is necessary. Agreeing on what changes is what makes the repair real. The critical word in this step is together. A solution that is imposed on one person is not a solution. It is a temporary ceasefire. As I describe in Chapter 9 of Say It Right Every Time, new expectations only hold when both people had a hand in creating them. That shared ownership is what makes accountability possible later. Here's how to do this step well. Number 1. Ask the other person, what would you need from me going forward to make this work better? Number 2. State clearly what you need from them, using specific and observable language. Not be more respectful, but when you disagree with my input in a meeting, I need you to wait until after rather than dismissing it in front of the group. Number 3. Write it down. A verbal agreement evaporates. A written record keeps both parties anchored to what was agreed. Number 4. Make sure the new expectations are mutual. If only one person is expected to change, the agreement will not last. Here is a script for this moment. I would like us to agree on a few specific things we will both do differently. I will commit to coming to you directly before raising concerns in a group setting. I'm asking you to commit to giving my input a fair hearing before responding. Can we both agree to that? Notice the structure: your commitment first, then your request. That sequence signals good faith. After this conversation, you have moved from confrontation to co-creation. That is a significant shift. Related reading on how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it can help you carry this approach into your wider team interactions. Step 6. Lock in the commitment with a follow-up. Agreement without follow-up is one of the most common reasons relationship repair fails. People have a good conversation, feel relieved, and assume the work is done. It is not. The bridge method ends with what I call establish a follow-up for good reason. It is the element that converts good intentions into actual change. Without a specific, scheduled check-in, the new expectations gradually erode. Old patterns reassert themselves. And because no one wants to have another difficult conversation, no one says anything until the damage is worse than before. Schedule a specific follow-up conversation within 2 to 3 weeks of the repair conversation. Not let's check in sometime, but can we talk briefly on the 14th to see how things are going? At the follow-up, use these 3 questions. What has improved? What is still difficult? What do we each need to adjust? Keep the follow-up short and forward-focused. This is not a review of past grievances. It is a progress check. Acknowledge any positive changes you have genuinely observed. People need to know that the effort they made was seen. For teams managing broader dynamics, how to use the bridge method to rebuild synergy after a team breakdown walks through the full framework in a group context. Adapting this process for remote or hybrid work environments. Remote and hybrid settings require specific adjustments when rebuilding after a toxic traits confrontation, because the absence of physical presence amplifies misreading and makes casual repair moments impossible. Move the conversation to the richest medium available. In Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time, I outline a communication medium richness hierarchy. In person is richest, then video, then phone, then text. For a repair conversation after a toxic traits confrontation, never attempt it over email or messaging. If in person is not possible, video is your floor, not your ceiling. Compensate for the absence of body language with greater explicitness. When you cannot see each other fully, tone becomes harder to read, and misinterpretation is more likely. State your intent out loud at the start. I want to be clear that I'm coming to this conversation focused on repair, not reopening the argument. Do not assume your tone is being received the way you intend it. Schedule the follow-up before the repair conversation ends. In a physical office, follow-up can happen organically in corridors or shared spaces. In a remote setting, it will not happen unless it is calendared. Before you close the video call, agree on the date and format of your next check-in. Create a written record of agreed expectations. This matters in any context, but in remote work it is essential. After the conversation, send a brief, neutral summary by email. Following our conversation, I wanted to note what we agreed to. This anchors the agreement and prevents the quiet drift that remote environments accelerate. The core process holds regardless of where you are working. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: repeating the original criticism during the repair conversation. Why it happens: you want acknowledgement. You want to know they truly heard you the first time. What to do instead? Trust that the confrontation landed. The repair conversation is not the place to press for confession. Focus entirely on what comes next. The mistake: over-apologizing for having spoken the truth. Why it happens: the other person's discomfort creates guilt, and guilt seeks relief through surrender. What to do instead? Own the how, not the what. Apologize for tone, timing, or setting if warranted. Never apologize for naming behavior that was genuinely harmful. The mistake: expecting trust to return immediately. Why it happens: the repair conversation feels productive, and relief gets mistaken for resolution. What to do instead? Lower your expectations for the timeline. Plan for weeks or months, not days. Consistent behavior over time is the only thing that restores trust. The mistake: skipping the follow-up conversation. Why it happens: things seem better after the repair talk, and raising the topic again feels risky. What to do instead? Keep the scheduled follow-up regardless of how things seem. The follow-up is what prevents regression, not what causes it. The mistake: bringing in third parties to validate your position. Why it happens: you want support, and you want the other person to understand that others see the problem too. What to do instead? Keep the repair between the two of you. Triangulating in colleagues destroys trust faster than the original confrontation ever could. If you need guidance on scripts for addressing team members who are undermining group synergy offers language that keeps things direct and contained. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each cycle. I have waited at least 24 hours before initiating the repair conversation. I have clarified my own intention. I am here to repair, not to relitigate. I have separated the behavior from the person in my own thinking. I have identified one specific thing from the confrontation I genuinely regret and can own clearly. I have prepared a neutral problem statement rather than an accusation for step 4. I have thought through what specific, observable commitments I need from the other person. I have identified what I'm willing to commit to in return. I have scheduled the follow-up conversation before ending the repair talk. I have written down the agreed expectations and sent a brief summary afterward. I have acknowledged any genuine positive change I observed during the follow-up. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a structured process for rebuilding a relationship after a toxic traits confrontation. One that does not require you to betray what was true or pretend the problem never happened. Timing matters. Give space before reaching back, and do not rush the repair. Lead with the relationship, not with the behavior you called out. Own your part precisely, without surrendering the substance of what you named. Use a neutral, curious approach to identify what was really driving the breakdown. Co-create new expectations so both people have ownership over the change. Lock in a specific follow-up conversation before you end the repair talk. Repeat as needed trust rebuilt after a toxic traits confrontation is earned slowly through consistent follow-through. If you are dealing with a team context where the confrontation has affected more than one working relationship, how to apologize to a team member in a way that actually restores synergy offers language for the specific dynamics that arise in group settings. The full bridge and deal frameworks, along with the complete suite of scripts referenced in this article, are covered in Say It Right Every Time, particularly chapters 9 and 11. Both chapters walk through the kind of high-stakes relationship repair that follows a direct toxic traits confrontation. A repaired relationship is often stronger than one that was never tested. Go do the work. Frequently asked questions. What is toxic traits confrontation, and why is it so hard to recover from? Toxic traits confrontation is the act of directly naming destructive behavioral patterns in someone you work or live alongside. Recovery is hard because the person confronted often feels attacked rather than helped, creating defensiveness, withdrawal, or retaliation that strains the relationship before repair can begin. How do you rebuild a relationship after calling out someone's toxic behavior? Start by giving the other person space, then return with a clear and calm conversation focused on the relationship rather than repeating the criticism. Acknowledge your part in any tensions, agree on new expectations together, and follow up consistently over time to show the change is real. How long does it take to repair a relationship after confronting toxic traits? There is no fixed timeline. Some relationships stabilize within weeks if both people are committed. Others take months of consistent follow-through. The speed depends on the severity of the toxic behavior, how the confrontation was handled, and whether both people are genuinely willing to change. What should you say after a toxic traits confrontation goes badly? Use script 118 from chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time as a guide to acknowledge that the conversation did not go well, name specifically what you regret saying, and ask if the two of you can talk again. Ownership and specificity are what open the door. Can a relationship actually get stronger after confronting someone's toxic traits? Yes, and this is one of the most important truths about conflict. A repaired relationship is often stronger than one that was never tested, because both people have gone through something difficult and come out with clearer expectations and deeper honesty between them. What are the biggest mistakes people make after a toxic traits confrontation? The most common mistakes are repeating the criticism instead of focusing on repair, expecting immediate trust, skipping follow-up conversations, and treating a single talk as the finish line. Rebuilding trust after confronting toxic traits is a process, not a single event. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.